Now let's get back to the Money Mentors on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM. Don't stop believing.
Hold on to that feeling. Love that music.
Welcome back to Money Mentors. I'm Laurel Stewart here with my dad, Gary Mattson, and Jennifer Perry. And from 1981, that's Journey with Don't Stop Believin'. It's the most downloaded song of all time, yet it never hit number one for the group.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? It actually topped out at number 9 on the charts in the U.S., and I had a chance to sit down with the co-writer of that song and a guy who's been with Journey for nearly 4 decades, Jonathan Cain.
You went to them out in Vegas where they're setting up shop for a few months, Laurel, so pretty cool, I'm sure, to see the show, but especially sitting down with a superstar in person like that.
It was really incredible because he came into the room, you know, to sit down and chat, and he had just went on a walk because he's, you know, he's getting ready for a show that evening. And so getting his exercise, I loved that. And, you know, we just sat down and talked about his experiences. And something neat that really, really stuck with me about Don't Stop Believin', and I never knew, was that his dad actually shared that with him when Jonathan was going through some tough times and kind of questioning, you know, is this what I should be doing? Yeah. And his dad said to him, you know, don't stop believing. So Jonathan wrote that down, carried it with him, just that, you know, little saying, for 5 years before he actually made a song out of it.
Oh, wow. And it turned into a monster smash for the group over time. And he also told you, too, Laurel, about a kind of a different experience that he had here in Grand Rapids, a really memorable one. Listen to this.
I was in Grand Rapids when 9/11 hit.
Really?
Yeah, I was in the gym. I remember looking up at the monitor, the TV monitor. I'm like, I'm not seeing this.
You know? Mm-hmm. Remember? Have you been back to Grand Rapids recently or anything?
Hasn't been a while. I bet we're going to go next year.
Right.
But I had the presence of mind to call the bus company. And I said, we were heading to New York, Pennsylvania, right after that. And that bus was going to go away. It was our last show. And so I said, we need a bus. So meet us, you know, at York. Mm-hmm. And we'll go home on the bus because I knew the flight. We wouldn't fly. Forget flights, you know. And they had one last bus, so we got home.
Wow,
and
that's crazy.
It was crazy, guys. I think all of us remember where we were that day. Mm-hmm. They just happened to be right here in Grand Rapids. But we hope they'll be back next year. You heard him say it there. We'll see.
He did.
Okay.
I think there's going to be a world tour coming. Well, so you'll have to mark your calendars. I'm eagerly waiting to hear about it as well.
Well, last year, Nancy and I, because Nancy's, you know, she, one of her favorite groups is
Def Leppard.
Yes, she just loves Def Leppard. So Journey and Def Leppard played at Comerica Park, and so surprised my wife for her birthday. I bought tickets. Now, I'm one of those guys thinking, okay, I'm going to do this for her birthday. I'm going to do this. You know, we got a suite. And when we sat down, some people sat next to us, and he goes, oh, man, this is going to be really good. And I go, what? And he goes, yeah, we just bought these an hour ago for $45 a piece. I was not happy because I spent almost 8 months prior to that finding the right seats and all
planning
that.
Planning it.
They weren't $45 seats. They were for them, but they weren't the $45 seats I paid for.
It's the thought that counts,
well,
right?
It's one of those things I look at and go, I'm not good at this. I'm going to find somebody to get me tickets next time.
They are phenomenal.
They are.
And, you know, to be reaching their 70s and, you know, the success that they've had, and they have no plans of stopping.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing, guys. They're going to be in Vegas for the next few months if you want to catch them, if you're heading out west and want to catch a show there. Laurel had a chance to do that, but let's listen in right now to her conversation here with Journey's Jonathan Cain.
You know, how does it feel to have created such an impact over multiple generations?
It is an honor as I sit here and look at the way the music has lasted and the relevancy and being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and standing on that stage, you know, and knowing that, you know, you've been set apart, you know, and you join the great ones. And it's a dream come true. And it's almost like being a knight of the round table, you know, that you get knighted and now it's your responsibility to uphold the truth and the, you know, the journey sort of love and hope and keep dreaming. I mean, we give people permission to dream.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it's okay. Take the midnight train going anywhere.
That's great.
Yeah.
And how does it feel now to be breaking into that, you know, Christian music?
You know, it's fun for me. I'm planting seeds. I'm plowing. I'm not, you know, making any money at it. You know, some people are still surprised I'm doing it, but I'm going to continue to do it. Just released a new album, More Like Jesus. Great video on YouTube. And I have a new Christmas single coming out called Wonder of Wonders. So I'm constantly, I'm going to be dropping singles every other month because I'm writing that much. My internet guy calls me a psalmist. He said, "You're Jonathan Cain, you're a psalmist." I'm like, "You're right, I am. And I'm going to continue to be one." And so I'm blessed. It's kind of, I'm on fire for God right now, and I'm going to run with it as long as I get the inspirations. And as he speaks through me, I will try to deliver, you know, what I think my music should render. And I put my personality and my ideas in there, you know, and I think it's non-denominational. I mean, you can't really, some people say I sound like Michael W. Smith, but I don't think so. I like Michael W., but I'm in another place. And it's fun. So I do that, and it feeds my energy for the Journey projects, you know, by serving. I get a rush from it.
Well, and you know, that realm too, you wrote a book, you know, Don't Stop Believing.
Right.
What made you go down that road?
It was always a story I wanted to tell. I felt like it could help people, inspire people that have been rejected. That, you know, you don't let anybody define you. They told me I wasn't going to make it as a singer or a writer, and I should have gotten a day job. And look what happened, you know. And Rolling Stone didn't like our music, and where are they now, you know? So I know we're in the Hall of Fame, and we're selling out. That's where we are.
Great
so
feeling.
The book was kind of, you know, sort of, I wanted to lead the reader by the hand and show them no matter what it looks like, there's a blessing beyond the battle. You know, when one door opens to another door, to another door. And my father used to always say, pay attention and take the chance sometimes. If I didn't open up the door to an audition for a band called The Babies, I wouldn't be in Journey. If I didn't take that step. And I saw something that on the internet the other day, it said, if there isn't a door, then build one. That's and I guess awesome. That's what I did. And I met John Waite and The Babies, which led me to my purpose was Journey. And I actually think about deciding whether to go or not to go to the audition. I still remember that day.
Wow.
And I remember the songwriter sitting there looking at me going, you're a rocker, you need to go. You'll kill it. You'll kill it. Because he believed that I belonged in that band. Although they wore makeup and wore earrings and, you know, sort of this glam rock thing, I'm like, okay, I'm from Chicago. I can do my own thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a great 3.5 years, and I learned so much. The business and what the rock business was about. Going overseas with those guys was, they're terrific guys. I mean, they're still kicking around, a few of them. You know, Ricky Phillips now is with Styx.
Oh, wow.
So he's a bass player in Styx and doing real well.
Yep.
But it was a good place to begin.
Well, what dreams do you still feel like you have, you know, that you want to achieve?
Oh, you know, like to get recognized as a CCM artist.
All right.
A legitimate CCM artist. Mm-hmm. Like to win a Dove Award. Like to win a Grammy. Like to score a movie someday. Like to produce a Christian film someday. I think we need more movies about a breakthrough. I think we need movies about the miracle of prayer, how cancer seems to disappear.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen so many miracles, and they're just not spoken of. You know, we're not looking at the power of worship and prayer, and it changes things. You know, that's what I'm encouraged about, because the miracles are still coming. You know, they're all around us, and we just have to look for them, you know. I read a story about this little girl. She had terminal cancer, 17 years old. They told her to go home. Her parents prayed for a month. They went back. It was gone.
Wow.
I mean, that's power of prayer. That's belief, you know. So I like to look for the miracles.
How do you balance family and, you know, your work life?
It's tough. You got to bring the family on the road, you know, when you can. When you're sitting in a city, and it's easier now with the plane because we're in cities like Las Vegas here. My daughter's here, you know,
awesome.
For her birthday.
Yep.
So I'm going to see her tomorrow. I'm having
Woo-hoo.
Lunch. You know, I gave her birthday present this morning, trying to get my son here. But that's what you do. Yeah, you got to, or, you know, if you get a day off, you fly to see him and you make time for him.
Making it always a priority. And
that's right. Yeah, and, you know, I'm missing my grandkids. I haven't seen them in a while. Our grandkids are back in Florida. They're a little young to travel right now, so.
You mentioned earlier, too, your dad is such an inspiration and, you know, a powerful force in your life.
So much so. I mean, you know, he passed on in 87, but he left a legacy, you know, with all three of us. And his whole thing was purpose and, you know, and passion and staying hungry and, you know, learning. And, you know, I still have the work ethic from him. Because he was just tireless, he would work and still enjoy us, you know, as a husband and a father. Mm-hmm. So he had the great balance. He would go play golf and then he would come and love on us. And then he have to go back to work. And I actually took up golf just so I could be with him, you know, because the only way I could hang out with my old man is on Saturdays at the golf course. So I gladly did it.
That's amazing. Well, I'm in the business with my dad. And so, you know, passing those lessons on through it too. And
so important.
It is. It's great to be with family and work with them too and finding the balance all between.
My dad matters. #.
Yes, I love it.
My dad matters.
We'll get it trending.
Okay, come on.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much,
Jonathan.
Thank you
so much, Merle. Thank you.